Good morning, everyone. So glad you could join us for this new wave of Morning Magical. So here you are, Dr. Taylor.
Good morning. Well, when I was preparing for today's Morning Magical, I never intended to go where I ended up going. It's a perfect example of being led by the Spirit of God. I started looking into the principles, instructions in John chapter 15. I thought that's where we were going to go next, because after all, we just finished John chapter 14. But I only got as far as verse 5, that we'll read in just a moment, when I got caught up in this is a cycle that appears all through the scriptures that would be good to learn. Because it appears in our lives, or can, at least Barbara and I know it well, because we've seen it play out over and over and over. So real quick, here's the cycle to pay attention to. Revelation, obedience, confirmation, and blessing. Let me say it again. You'll have the notes so you can follow along. Revelation, obedience, confirmation, and blessing. Now here's how it works. Revelation is what God shows you. And when that is met with your obedience, because that's the only step you can take, meaning you're going to do whatever he just showed you, you're going to take action, that's obedience, then your obedience is followed swiftly by confirmation. And we'll talk more about what all these things mean in a minute. And then the blessing flows. So revelation, when met with obedience, is followed swiftly by confirmation, and then the blessing flows. We'll talk about this four-part cycle shortly. But first, let's look at the starting point for today in John 15:5. That's as far as I got, where Yeshua says, I am the grapevine, you are the branches. He who is remaining in me and I in him, this one is bringing forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeshua is using a metaphor, obviously. I'm the grapevine, you're the branches. That's pretty easy to grasp. But the last part is what stopped me in my tracks, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, without Yeshua's life in us, we can't really be productive in terms of finding and fulfilling the Father's purpose for our lives. We may be productive in fulfilling our own purposes and goals, but heaven's view is almost always entirely different. And just as an example, I thought I was on a roll when I had a great wellness practice, helping tons of people, teaching my specialty to other practitioners from all over the world. But it didn't take long after Barbara and I were married that the Father literally began dismantling my kingdom, so to speak. So everything I thought I was about changed. And why did he do that? He dismantled my kingdom to set me apart for his purpose. He did the same with Barbara, who had 4 athletic apparel stores and 10 more on the drawing board at her peak in business. When you hear her story, however, it's clear that the Father had other plans that took her from a millionaire to leaving with a suitcase to go wherever the Spirit of God led her. And she went from serving her purpose to serving his. When we got together, I went from serving my purpose to serving his. There's nothing more satisfying, nothing more satisfying than finding and fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. So when your head hits the pillow at night, you know you've done exactly what the Spirit showed you that day, and your sleep is wonderfully restful. If you wake up in the morning, you have more to do, and the Spirit of God will show you every step, one at a time. If you don't wake up, then you won't conclude because you won't know anything, but others could conclude if they were looking with the eyes of the Spirit that you had accomplished your purpose. There is no rule. There is no rule in science or scripture that we have to be sick, hooked up to machines, hurting, and being just miserable on the way out. We're not going to get out of this alive unless you're alive when the Lord returns. It's appointed, the scripture says, it's appointed once for man to die. Yeah, and then the judgment. But that's an Old Testament thing. That's not going to be anything to do with us.
That is Hebrews 9:27, and let me look it up in the concordant, because that may be different.
Oh, I'm sure it is. You all know by now, I'm reading strictly from the concordant. I don't read from other versions. And So there you go.
This is Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is reserved to the men to be dying once, yet after this is a judging.
Okay.
Thus Christ also being offered once for the bearing of the sins of many will be seen a second time by those awaiting him apart from sin for salvation through faith.
Yeah. Okay. So again, being led by the Spirit, when you get done with your day, you know you've done all you were shown to do that day. Now it's time to rest. If you wake up, then you know you've got more to do. If you don't wake up, then you will wake up in his presence, whenever that is. You will have no concept of time in between. Close your eyes in this realm, open them up in the next. Only reason I'm even sharing that with you is because, look, let's be honest, there's no guarantee that you wake up tomorrow. That's written nowhere. And in these fragile bodies, they can die anytime. So we'd best not take tomorrow for granted. Best to know God today, to listen to his voice today, to do what he shows you to do today, and to close your eyes. And if you get to wake up in his presence, you'll know you did what you were supposed to do. Then living to God's purpose becomes a flow of revelation, obedience, confirmation, and blessing. When the Father shows you something to do, that's revelation, as I said before. Your step is obedience. In fact, throughout that whole four-step cycle, your only step is obedience. Just do what he says. You can trust him. He'll never steer you wrong. The Spirit of God will never lead you into a tar pit. And then he follows up your obedience with confirmation, which can take all kinds of forms. But it's usually something you can see or hear that lets you know you took the step he showed you. It's almost, you know, it's almost, I don't know if you had this experience growing up when you went to the dentist or the doctor and you got a lollipop or something at the end of that appointment. It was like a treat, a reward. That's what confirmation feels like to me. It's like a reward for taking the only step you can take after God shows you something. Then he says, way to go. Here's how you know that was right. Then the blessing can flow, which may be as simple as living in the peace of flowing from one revelation to the next. Because confirmation usually flows swiftly. I don't know that I've ever seen it take more than 3 days. Sometimes it's hours. Sometimes even minutes, but usually hours. But somewhere in that three-day period, at least in our experience, we've always seen there's the confirmation for what we heard, and we took our step. Now God can show. So the blessing can flow after that. May be as simple as living in the peace of flowing from one revelation to the next as you automatically act on the Father's directions, noting the confirmations and on, like basking. Look, this really just is so peaceful. It's literally like basking on a float in a pool on a summer day with the breeze on your face, the sound of the birds in the trees, as he shows you the next step to take, or another step to take, and the cycle can continue unbroken as long as you do your part called obedience. Because that cycle will stop in its tracks. I mean, just come to a dead stop when you don't do what God showed you to do. We had a friend, this is years ago, who called once, and she was really agonizing about the next step to take. She had an offer. Somebody had called her and said, would you come pastor this assembly, this church? Or was to be a youth pastor, something like that. She was being asked to serve in a position, a paid position, and she was living from hand to mouth, a paid position in some church in some other state. And she said, I'm just waiting for God to confirm that that's where he wants me to go. I said, you've missed the whole point. You can't get, he's not going to show you a doggone thing until you do the one step you can do, which is go check this out. They're asking you to come. They're willing to pay you. You got nothing else going on here. Yeah, it's a move. Okay, well, can he not do that? But he's not going to show you some great confirmation until you take the step you know to take. Get going. Get down there. Do this. And then what? Then you'll see confirmation. In fact, probably about the time you simply decide to take that step and begin to get your affairs in order to make that move, you'll see confirmation. It could be something as simple as all of a sudden U-Haul has a truck sale where you get to take the trip for $10. I don't know what it'll be, but I know you're never going to find it waiting. He's waiting for you, not the other way around. It's going to do you no good to wait for him. He's already done his part. Now you do yours. And of course, your first part is to seek his guidance. No matter how small or how large the matter, just take every step he shows you. That's obedience. And as Barbara says, obedience is always the dividing issue. So here's what I have to go further into this, because I tell you, you'll see this cycle. It's not written in the scriptures specifically. When you read the Daily Bible in chronological order, I'll bet you anything, by the second time through, you're going to start seeing the Father's personality. You'll be able to spy out his fingerprints. You'll learn what he has patience for, what he has no patience for, what he likes, what he doesn't like. You learn, that's what happened to me the second time I went through it. Just reading the stories, I saw so much about him that, to be honest with you, just made me fall in love with him. It was just so sweet, so kind. Now, I know there are others, plenty of stories of total destruction by his order. But there again, you see his personality. But the point I want to make here is that all through the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, when you find a figure whom God has chosen and showed him or her to do something, that was revelation. Their obedience, that is, that they took the step they were shown to take, like Abraham. My goodness. All God said was, go out into the land that I will give you. I'm going from memory here. That I will also give to your descendants after you. And I'll make a great nation out of you. But all Abraham heard was, go out. And God would show. That's it. No map. Not even a destination. Just go out. You know, why God chose Abraham? Who knows? It's not my business to know that. He did. Because he can. And he decided to. And he wants to. So that's it. And Abraham just did that. And he went out. And he took all his family and his flocks and his herds. Now, his nephew tagged along, which was never part of the deal. But that's another story. And so what happened was when Abraham reached the land, something changed in him and he pitched his tents. That's it. I'm not leaving from here. Abraham was shown, go out. He did. He went out. That's obedience. That's his step. Confirmation came all along. He prospered all along the journey. And when he reached the land that God was going to give him anyway, then other events began to happen. But he entered into the blessing that followed the confirmation. Now, the blessing could be delayed. The blessing may not happen immediately. Confirmation can, but the blessing may wait. God may show you another revelation before a blessing is occurring. But listen, just getting another revelation from God is blessing enough. When you hear his voice, man, oh man, you're never going to forget it.
One of the clearest examples of this to me is when Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for his son Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
So that's from Genesis 24.
Folks, look, I don't have a lot written out today. I got stopped on this four-point cycle. Revelation, obedience, confirmation, blessing. Because if you learn this, then two things. This is what I want to say. If you learn this, two things are going to happen. You're going to hear God's voice. He's going to show you something. I don't know when it'll be, but he's going to show you something. It might be in the next 24 hours for all I know. And I promise you, whatever he shows you, do. Take action. Do whatever he shows. And watch for the confirmation. And then listen for the next revelation. Because as long as you do your part, God will continue to show you a next step. And to me, That's enough of a blessing. Now, there may be a whole lot more blessing that flows from that. But this cycle is so important because in it is the joy of hearing God speak to you inside your spirit, inside yourself. I've never heard his voice outside of me somewhere. And I don't know, you know, when Barbara's going to read the scripture, I don't know if people always heard the voice of God from the outside. They may have. I have not. You have, Barbara, when he showed up at the doctor's office. I've not had that experience. I think that's just such a great story. And you've told that before, but I don't want to get off track with where we're going here. So we're just going to tell stories about revelation. This is what I'm saying. God will lead this. God's in charge of these meetings. So this is what we've been shown. And by golly, this is the revelation we're going with. So this is our obedience. We're sharing this with you because this will really help you when it comes to living by faith, living by the revelation of God. This is so important. Barbara's example is Abraham sending his servant to go get a wife for his son Isaac. So let's see what happens.
So it's Genesis 24. Now, Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, "Please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac." That's the revelation. The servant said to him, "Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came?" The servant's just wanting to know his parameters. He's heard what Abraham, his master, said, and now he's just wanting the parameters, however it goes. Then Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there." So Abraham is setting this entire miracle in process. "But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, my master, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be," and he's setting up the parameters, "Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master."
So let me just stop you right there. He's acting on the revelation. He's being obedient. He's doing what he's been shown to do and told to do. Now, he has the, in this case, he knows that the women are coming out, and he's asking God now for the confirmation by which he'll know he's on the right track. So we've already got revelation, obedience. Now we're looking at confirmation. Go ahead.
"Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please let me drink a little water from your jar.' She said, 'Drink, my lord.' And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink.
Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Now that shows what kind of woman Rebekah was. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. I mean, she just did what he had prayed, so I don't know why he's gazing so much in silence. Okay, he's being with the Lord on this. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels in gold, and said, Whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again, she said to him, We have plenty. This is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. We have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. He said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers.
So now he's seen the blessing. He's got the confirmation. Now he's seen the blessing. They're going to house him. And the story goes, I don't know if it's important to read all of it, but it ends up that Rebekah goes back with the servant to become Isaac's wife.
Then Rebekah's family blessed her. They knew this was God. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah rode with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. And then it goes on. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer-lahai-roi, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, Who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, He is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
Ta-da!
Yeah, but the part I left out was where they went, the servant and Rebekah went to her family, and everyone, the word of God, it was all confirmed by the Spirit of God that this was what God was doing, and they blessed her on her way out.
Yeah. While you were reading, I was remembering what we went through the other day in Paul's writing, or not in Paul's writing, but in the book of Acts, when Yeshua called Paul. That's one of the most profound revelations we've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was confirmed, as I recall, confirmed very quickly when Ananias came with the word of the Lord and healing for Paul's eyes. And then Paul did from then on whatever he was shown to do. So there's an Old Testament example, there's a New Testament example. There are tons of these. When Barbara and I were first getting together, which was all by phone mostly. Yeah, no, it was at that time, all by phone. And she knew, somehow I had told her I was wanting to find a ring, a particular kind of ring. And so, of course, she started looking for me, but she didn't know what my ring sizes were. So I went to visit my mother, half celebrate my birthday, and half because I want her to know I'm going to get married. But I didn't tell her that right away. Anyway, I went to, Barbara had asked me, sometime could you just get your ring sizes? And she didn't tell me what for. And I was on an errand for my mother that next morning after I'd gotten there. And there's a jewelry store in this shopping center. So I thought, oh, perfect. I'll go get my ring sizes. Now, I know that it wasn't God who told me to get my ring sized. It was Barbara, or asked me to. But the revelation from God hadn't happened yet. Stuff starts showing up is the point. This is, you know, signs, wonders, and miracles follow them who believe. This is the case. That wasn't a scripture I was planning on getting to today, but it's one we'll surely look at some point. I know. Signs, wonders, and miracles will follow them who believe. Well, you know, we were both believing, and we knew that God was putting us together. So I walked into the jewelry store, and I said, I need to get my ring sizes, but I don't really know which finger we're talking about here, so just let me have them all. They just laughed. The people in the store just laughed. They got out their little gauges, and I got all my ring sizes, wrote them all down on the right and on the left. And while I'm there, I catch a glimpse of this ring that I could not take my eyes off. It was just a beautiful gold band with diamonds set in it. And I looked at that ring, and I looked at it, and I said to them, could I please see that ring? This is a jewelry store. Yeah, I think that'd be good. You could see this ring. So they brought it out, put it on their little felt pad. And I didn't know what size that ring was, but I knew that was the ring. I was supposed to get that ring for Barbara. I said, tell me about this ring. She said, well, whatever the characteristics were. And she said, and oh, by the way, it's on sale. I said, is it now? She said, yeah, it's on a big sale, and if you need to finance it, we've got no interest financing for a whole year. Huh. And then I got in my head a little bit, and I said, well, let me see some other rings, just in case. And I looked, and I looked, and I didn't like any of them near as well. Some of them were bigger, some of them had more diamonds, but this was the ring. I was drawn to that ring. That was the ring. I wasn't leaving that store without that ring. And here's what I heard in my spirit, my Father's voice saying to me, it's exactly the right size and she'll love it. That's what I heard. So I got that ring and they put it in a little box and tied a bow on it. I said, I'm getting married. This is the ring that my future wife is going to have. They were all excited, and I went back to my car with this box in a bag, and I couldn't turn that car on. I just sat there and looked at all that had just happened, none of which was planned. I was just on an errand for my mother. There was a jewelry store. I could get all my ring sizes done, whatever they were. And there was a ring in the same time, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. His revelation to me was, that's the ring. That's her ring. It's perfect. She'll love it. It's the right size. My part was obedience by the ring. Confirmation came, well, almost immediately because of the word he gave me that it was perfect to be the right size. That's enough confirmation for me. And then when I did give it to Barbara, which was, I don't know, a week or two later at the most, she did love it. It was the perfect size. And the whole time was just in that blessing of having that series of events occur that you can't mistake for anything other than divine order. So here you've got now an Old Testament example, a New Testament example, and a personal example from today. So the New Testament example of Paul's encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, you'll find that in Acts chapter 9. We've already read it in a previous Morning Magical, so I don't want to read it here. And there are many other cases where Paul receives a revelation from the Lord, and then he goes somewhere to minister to people. And God always confirms it, and he's living in this blessing. And for Paul, so much of the time when you read Paul's journey, it doesn't look like he's living in the blessing very much, because he's going from calamity to calamity sometimes. He'll talk about that in one of the writings we'll get to, but he goes through this whole list of being shipwrecked and adrift in the sea for 3 days and in hunger and cold and desperate poverty. And so he goes through a lot, But that's part of what the Lord showed him in the first place when Ananias showed up. Or actually, what the Lord told Ananias before he went to Paul is, he is a choice instrument of mine, and I will be intimating to him, I will do this, how much he must be suffering for my name. So Paul knew ahead of time. He was chosen. He was a choice instrument, which made no sense, having been a ravager of the ecclesia. But never mind, that was the revelation from God. And his part was just do what you're shown to do. That's called obedience. Confirmation always happened, like when Ananias came and laid hands on Paul and the scales fell off his eyes, or the blindness left him like scales falling off his eyes. And then he begins to live in the blessing of Yeshua's sovereign commissioning of him as an apostle to teach throughout Asia, really, which included Italy at that time, all the Mediterranean region, let me say it that way, his evangel, the revelation that God had given him. That was his blessing. So what's God showing you today is my question. Or are you even looking to him to find out what he would show you? If you're wondering whose purpose you're serving today, just ask God to show you what he would have you do and then wait for an answer. If you don't hear anything inside you, or you don't see any signs around you that really grab your attention and compel you, don't change anything. You may be already where he wants you. I don't know. If, however, you hear his voice directing you to do something at any time, for heaven's sake, for your sake, do it. If anything is the blessing, it is being in his flow, his presence, his protection, his provision, and his purpose. These are the ways you come to know him. Not just by reading the Bible, although that's so important, but maybe not the Bible you're used to. I'll say again, go invest in the narrated Bible in chronological order. The title is The Daily Bible. This guy, F. Legard Smith, did such a wonderful job of putting all the scriptures together in sequence, so it really does become a great big storybook. Even his narration, when he tells you, now, this is where we're going now, and this is what was happening at this time, and I just love it. I love it. I have as hard a time as anybody reading the Bible, but the daily Bible, I enjoy reading. I don't get lost in it. I don't get hung up. That daily Bible is available in what's called the New International Version. Barbara calls it the truck driver's version because it's just so simple to read. The language is so plain. Well, I like that. That works for me. So you get the Daily Bible and the New International Version and just read a section at a time. It's already broken up. It's pre-measured so that in a year, you can go through the whole thing. If you get it tomorrow, start with wherever tomorrow is. It's in order by calendar days. I promise you, you'll like it. You'll like it probably a whole lot more than any other Bible you read. And then you'll see these stories, and you will see this cycle that we've been talking about of revelation. When met with obedience, which is your only part, is followed swiftly by confirmation. That's God's deal. And then the blessing flows. That's also his deal. Of the four steps, God's doing three of them. Can you do one? And then you really do get into this flow in his presence, his protection, his provision, his purpose. It's so sweet. But if you don't seek his face, if you don't ask, probably not going to see much. That's interesting. I hadn't seen this till just now. But we've covered salvation, that is, coming to him for his salvation, which is again the deliverance of your body out from the sentence of death and into life. When he returns, or when you're resurrected upon his return. That's step one. Step two is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God filling you and energizing your own spirit and giving you the faculty of speaking in your own spirit's language to God, which you will not understand one single word of, but he will. And boy, does that help you, because look, English is kind of limited. If you speak any other language, it's still limited. Because it has to work its way through your brain, through your conscious brain. Speaking in the language of the Spirit, what Paul calls speaking in languages. In other versions, you'll read it speaking in tongues. That's your innermost expression from your spirit into the heavenlies, into the realm where your Father is. And He's so happy to hear from you. And it's like opening a hydrant you never, ever want to shut off. So that's step two. And look, we're into what I didn't even know was step three, but it really is to walk into when you're saved, when you have acknowledged Yeshua as the Lord over your life and you're filled with the Spirit of God, which He died to send, then you can hear God's voice. Then you can get His revelation. When He's speaking to you, you know it's His voice. You know what the subject is. It is unmistakable what you're to do. Unmistakable. And then you move into this cycle. Revelation. When met with obedience, you do what He shows you to do, and He meets that with confirmation swiftly. Hours to days. And then the blessing flows. You don't ever want to come out from that river. You never want to come out from that current. It's peaceful. It's warm. There's a peace that can overtake you inside yourself you probably never had before. Of knowing, the peace that comes with knowing you're His and He is yours. And He loves you. Oh my God. He loves you. You can't make Him angry. He will not hold something over your head ever. So He's not reckoning offenses. This was the very first time we got together and talked about conciliation. He reaches all through what Christ accomplished through the cross and then what He accomplished through the resurrection of Christ, which is to give you exactly the same expectation of living in a body of glory like Yeshua's that can't die, can't hurt, and lives in the heavens with Him. And that you can partake of a part of that right here, right now, when you're filled with His Spirit and you begin speaking in that language. Paul calls it the earnest of the allotment. The allotment is the full inheritance, that full deliverance we've been talking about, where upon His return, you're either caught up to meet Him, or if you've died, you're raised out from the dead to meet Him. So that's the allotment. The earnest of the allotment, that is a down payment, in other versions you'll read, the down payment is being filled with the Spirit of God now. Why bump along in this eon, which is full of insanity, if you know, unless you just shut yourself off from all mainstream media sources, which, again, I'll say, would be a wonderful exercise just for a week. Look at nothing, read nothing, listen to nothing for a week that's in the media. And watch how much better you feel. They're not after your best interests anyway. Anyway, I don't want to get caught up in that business. The point is, we may be living in this eon, but we do not have to live as if we are of this eon. We don't have to participate in its insanities. It is a present wicked eon. There's nothing you or I are going to do about that. But we don't have to participate in that wickedness. We don't have to partake of it. We don't have to go along with any of it. And we do not have to live strictly by our own wits, our own energies, our own intentions. We can live in what Paul calls the earnest of the allotment through the Spirit of God operating in us and walk into this flow. Hearing His voice, receiving revelation, when met with obedience. It's followed swiftly by confirmation, and the blessing flows. And you never have to leave that place as long as you're doing the only step you can do. You're taking the only steps you can take, which is called obedience. Doing what God shows you to do. Following up on what you've heard in your spirit from Him. That's how Yeshua lived. He was a man just like you or me. And if you're a woman, sorry, it's the same thing. I don't know how to make that shift. It doesn't matter what your gender is. The principle's still operating. That's how He lived. Yeah, I know he was the begotten Son of God, but he was a man. He didn't want to die any more than you or I want to die. He was as dependent on the revelation of God, which he then followed every step, as you and I are. And he did for us what none of us could possibly do for ourselves or for anyone else. He bought us pardon for all the crazy things we've ever done. And it's never held over our head again, because God was in Christ. I'm going to recite this from memory. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, ending the need for any estrangement with him. We are free to just rush into his arms because he loves us so much, and he's reaching through the cross to say, can we be friends now? Can this sacrifice of my own son for your sins, I don't even like that word, but I know what it means, so it's no big deal, for all the stuff you've done that's stupid. I'll say it that way. All the stuff you probably even knew better. I'm not reckoning any of that. I'm not looking at it. I'm not counting it. It makes no difference to me. And I raised Yeshua from among the dead. So you can also live in that kind of body. I won't leave you dead any more than I left him dead. That's what God accomplished upon Jesus' death and then his resurrection. That's what God accomplished, and that's why he can reach through all of that to us today and say, can we be friends now? I don't have any more I can do. I've given my son as your sacrifice, so you don't have to. You're not the one who's going to have to suffer for all your sins, whatever they are. I wish I could find a different word than that, because it has. We've probably all heard it in one church or some ministry, whether it's broadcast or in person, throughout our lives, and we just get tired of it. But that's only because the people saying it, they didn't really know what it meant. Forgive me. But they didn't. And they didn't know, they didn't even have the word conciliation in the versions they were reading to know what the real word conciliation even meant or provided. But you do. If you're listening to these morning magicals lately, you do. So you know that it's easy to quote unquote get saved. It's easy to get that step taken care of. This is revelation. That is revelation from God. I'm not saying for me, that has nothing to do with it. The scriptures that we've looked at, that's revelation from God. Your step is obedience. Do what he's showing you. Acknowledge Yeshua as Lord over your life, and you will be saved. That's how simple it was in the New Testament time, and it's just that simple today. Just do it. That's the step. Then you don't have to live totally under your own power. Barbara has this great story of, it's called The Road of Life. We even have that video on her website somewhere. Maybe we could link that. That's what we should do. We should link that on the webpage today to find the video of Barbara doing The Road of Life and make that available to you so you could see it. It's so cute because here's the point. When you link up with Yeshua, it's like riding a tandem bike. You might be in front in the beginning and he's in back, but you've got somebody else pedaling the bike. And then at some point in the story Barbara will tell, you switch places and he comes up front and all you have to do is pedal. You don't have to steer. You don't have to figure out where you're going. And he knows all kinds of adventures to take you on. All kinds of what Barbara calls long cuts instead of shortcuts. I think you'll really enjoy that. But that's what salvation looks like. That's what it looks like when you bring Yeshua into your life as Lord, Master, if you want to say it that way. But look, he's your elder brother. He went before you. Paul calls him the firstborn of many brethren or sisteren. Well, then you're one of the brethren or sisteren, for heaven's sake. He just went ahead of you. So why not jump on this wonderful tandem bike with him so both of you are pedaling? And the sooner you get the idea he knows a better direction than you think you know, you'll switch places and you'll... You'll be on the back seat enjoying the scenery and just pedaling. And when things get tough, you'll hear again Barbara saying the story. He'll just look behind and say, pedal. Just pedal. And then when you ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and express the language of your own spirit that sounds like babbling at first, the Spirit of God is not going to possess you and start moving your mouth. It's going to be up to you. You got to move your mouth. Make a sound. Just make a sound. But when you've asked for Him to fill your spirit, it's already done. He doesn't play games. So if you don't speak in the languages at first, that's your deal, not His. He's already done His part. Yours is to speak. Barbara's got a great story about that. But before we get there, I just want to finish this thought. Then you begin to move and live in this flow we've been talking about this morning. Revelation, met with your obedience, is followed swiftly by confirmation from God that you can see, you can hear, you can touch. You know it's Him. And then the blessing flows, because now the next revelation can happen. You take your next step, more confirmation, more blessing, over and over and over and over again. And you never want to leave that place. That's how you always want to live. Anyway, that's all I have for now, today. So if you were looking for a whole lot of scripture today, sorry. So just to review the scripture we started with, Yeshua goes through this quick metaphor. I'm the grapevine, you are the branches. He who is remaining in me and I in him, this one is bringing forth much fruit. And here is where the springboard is for everything we talked about today. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It still stops me in my tracks. Because I know I could make breakfast right now if I wanted to. That's not what he's talking about. If I could say it, and I promise you, I'm expanding way over from where this scripture is. So just take it with a big grain of salt if you want. But I believe what he's talking about here is not just the little choices you and I can make to put on which shoes and what clothes we're going to wear, start the car, go to work, whatever that is. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You will accomplish nothing in this world that I'm interested in, he might say, apart from me, apart from my life in you, apart from me and my Father coming to make our abode with you, which we read in chapter 14, and apart from the life of the Spirit within you, you won't accomplish what you could that will mean something to him, that will make his sacrifice count. And I'm not telling you you have to go off and be some kind of wild-eyed evangelist or missionary to Africa. What God calls you to do, I have not the faintest clue. Maybe you're doing what he's already called you to do. I don't know that either. But this principle would lead me to believe that if you are where he's called you to be, and you know that you're doing what he has shown you to do, then you are not living apart from him. You are already in him. You are already hearing from God in your spirit, and you already have that means of communication. Again, that's my take on what this says. And I hope that's okay with you, because I'm not trying to put me on you. But I don't want you to miss anything he said. And even though we probably aren't going to read everything Yeshua said, that's probably not going to happen. Like I said, I thought I was going to go into chapter 15 today, of course, of John, because we finished chapter 14 yesterday. So that's logical, right? Nope. I couldn't get past this verse. So I hope this blessed you today. I hope it helps you today. And so until next time, as Barbara says, make today matter. Bless you. See you tomorrow.